Our next thing is the pièce de résistance. We're going to hear from Indra Hardat of WBAI, a management report. We have 40 minutes for the report. This will go till 10 p.m., after which we have Brian DeShazer for 20 minutes. Indra, how did your finals go?
Very well, thank you. I guess I am in the hot seat now.
Oh, and Indra, if you could leave time enough for a board discussion so we don't have to extend 20 minutes after, that would help.
Okay, first of all, I'll give a brief update of the spring fund drive that was just concluded last Wednesday. That's right. We do not have the final figures as yet, but based on our tally total, our goal was 950,000, and we made $775,000. We have to take into consideration that our theater tickets income has to be taken off of that total, and our website income has to be added on. So it may be a little bit more, it can be a little less. So that leaves us with more or less a 175,000-180,000 shortfall from this drive. As we all know that listeners have so many places to get their information that the income in public radio has declined, and people, you know, we have to devise new means of how to raise income off air and online. So I've been hearing a lot of the online fundraising, and that's one of the avenues we have to go into. The next thing is a union contract has just been negotiated, and what came out of that is that we have a 3% increase in payroll for 2005, which we have to go retro. 2006, we have another 3%. And 2007, we have a 4%. And also, what was negotiated is that each employee, full-time employee, gets a $500 bonus, and part-time employees get a $250 bonus. So it... we have to come up with an additional $55,000 to cover that payroll cost to fund that increase with the union contract. But I suspect our employees are happier. With the shortfall, I don't know what will happen. We'll have to find out how we will budget the next few months and the next year budget, because we have to take into consideration that the amount we have for listener support is not going to be there. And we have to lower that amount. And the budget process is on its way. We have to fine-tune it a little bit. The first draft will be delivered next Friday, I promised. We had a few flaws, well, not flaws really, but a few wrinkles in the financial software where we were not able to extract information. And that has delayed the process somewhat. As far as we have a few interim positions that we still need to set up ARCs, one of the problems that we do have is that our fund drives are pretty long and paid staff, and they don't have the energy and the time to get into the ARC and get the ARC going. The unpaid staff ARC has always been set up because it's on a voluntary basis, but the paid staff, it seems that... And it's not a new phenomenon. That's been happening for years where paid staff cannot get the ARC organized. The ARC is an applicant review committee that sets up, looks into the selection application process of new hires. We don't have any new hires, but we have interim hires. In fact, we have a freeze on hires and expenditures, any capital expenditures. The other thing is our workplace is a little bit safer. It's very un-Pacifican to ban people, but during my 1 year of Sitting at the helm, we've had to ban 6 people from the station because of violence, because of disruption. These incidents were threatening. One of our staff was threatened. He was actually beaten up, and that person was the latest on the list. And 2 of those people were caught with our mail opening our checks. So I don't think that's, it is ground for banning, because people cannot go through our mail and open our checks and have it in their possession when people are not around. One person moved in with their suitcase. And
there are board members who didn't understand what you just said. Could you repeat about the suitcase?
The person who was seen with a check also had a suitcase, and was maybe she didn't have anywhere to go, but she was there for like 3 days, 4 days in a row, not moving from the building. So operations took steps, and she was banned. It's administrative and fiscal.
Excuse me. What this is a manager's report where we've asked the manager to present those things she thinks is important, and after that, the board is going to be spending some time discussing a variety of issues with her. The sooner we can get to that, the better. And I think she deserves, whatever you think of her, the respect to allow her to speak.
Okay. I was told to breathe, so let me breathe. In programming, I would still say that we need to institute policies and protocols for objective evaluations before we make decisions to change any kind of programming. We need to connect and interact with more grassroots communities, communities of color, and other progressive organizations. We can share their mailing list. We can work with other organizations to collaborate in a manner where we have a two-way street, and they receive benefit from us, and we receive benefit from them. And we also need to organize and train pitching team to focus on on-air fund drive. Some of our producers are not trained in pitching, and sometimes cannot generate the kind of funds that we need. In development and fundraising, one of the top events on that list that happened April 30th is the Friends of Long Island held an event to offset whatever expenses will be incurred for the Clearwater event. And every year we have a Clearwater event, and that project was triggered by Pat Seeger when they started the cleanup project in the Hudson River and with one of the schooners. And it's a very important project for WBI, but because of limited resources, we cannot do it. So the Friends of Long Island, they raise funds and allow us to do that project. And instead of $2,000, which was the budget to fund that event, they raised $5,600, and we were able to buy a duplicator and a printer for the premiums department. So I want to thank the Friends of Long Island for that. We started with Rebecca Miles, who's a 10-hour-a-week development person. We sent 30,000 pieces of mail to LAPS members. And that's also a reminder to our listeners that the fund drive is on, and reminding them to sending extra and additional donation. We also set up Donate Your Car to WBI. It can be a car, a trailer, or any other item. And I find that when I was in Oregon with the recent NFCB meeting, other sister stations were doing this, and we didn't know about it, and we tapped into that. So next year, hopefully, we'll have another stream of revenue. Our major donor gifts were increased by 30%. We are fortunate this year. And that translates into about $75,000-$80,000 extra dollars. And $75,000-$80,000 extra dollars is probably what we pay for this meeting here. And that to us is part of 1 month's rent and probably half payroll. So it means a lot to us. We also have a joint fundraiser with New York Ethical Culture, and that's happening the 13th of this month, and that's a collaboration with New York Ethical Culture Society and the WBAI, and we'll share half of that income. We are projecting $5,000 for that. Also, we have major donor summer solstice event that's coming up June 21st, and that's just a major donor event. It's not a public event. Where a major donor will is sponsoring this event, and we probably will raise about $10,000 to $15,000 on that event, but I'm not sure because you never know with the major donors. It depends on how they're feeling, how heavy their pocketbook is, and how they feel about us. And coming up is a July mini fund drive that's scheduled for mid-July. Our fund drives are usually longer than the other stations. We fundraise approximately 3 months a year, and this one will be about 12 days, and that's why I suspect that we cannot retain a lot of listeners, because once they tune in to fundraising, they switch stations and they go somewhere else, and there are so many places to get information that, and then they come back after the drive. So people are listening, but they're not giving the money. We also have a health fair that's coming up in August, and a book fair in September. So every month we have some kind of activity going on to supplement our loss of income. Premium and subscriptions. What we're trying to do is to increase our fulfillment rate. Our fulfillment rate is 65% to 70%, and it takes us a year to go to 75%, and we're trying to get that to 85%. In order to do that, though, we need to offer less premiums, shorter period of time to fundraise, and collaboration by all producers and staff with the programming department to achieve this. Also, we need to concentrate efforts on the quality of premiums. Many times we get a premium that's not really the quality that people pay $100, and it's very poor quality because we did not take the time out, or we didn't have the time out to look at it before we offer it on the air. One of the difficulties that we have in the premium department is that this past drive we had about 35 premiums that were not registered, and they were offered on the air. And that creates a backlog of work because you first have to investigate all the details to get the premium ready for ordering and then delivery. And another area we need to concentrate is improving the customer relation with the premium department and the customer. Website and folio and technology. We need to develop new online revenue source. How do we do that? We do not have the funds, but CPB is offering a grant this year that we plan to tap into that, and with Lonnie's help, we should be able to get a grant to spend money on the website, the folio, and IT needs that the station has. Another thing is that I made a visit to our transmitter site, and I was really shocked to find out that this room is like a hotel room, what we pay $35 a month. And these transmitters are really going there. The lines are bad. The cable is bad. And I think we have to do some serious fundraising to upgrade our transmitter, if not change them altogether. And IT, some of the challenges we have is that we do not have an IT person on board. So by default, our engineer had to do some of the IT work. And we don't have the funds also to have an IT person. I will try to put one in the budget this time, but I don't know where we can cut and where we can, how tighter can we tighten our belts to have an IT person. Perhaps someone will volunteer time to get some work done in that department. We do plan to upgrade a website so that we can have a better on-air website funding. And in conclusion, I would say that all of our resources that we're supposed to have for tomorrow's building and sustaining financial stability is always used for today's emergency, and that's one of the reasons WBI cannot go forward in a sustainable manner. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Indra. We have about, it looks like, 15 to 20 minutes for questions. Rip.
Yes, Indra, could you tell me what the difference is when you say that there's a hiring freeze, but instead there's interim hires?
Oh, these interim hires, I'm one of the interim hires. I mean, my position right now is interim. The interim hire is that someone is not permanent because the ARC process hasn't been completed. And the ARC process in some cases has been going on for 3 years.
Well, I'm not sure that gets my... Would the outlay in funds be the same if you were to hire a permanent...
No, these people are already hired, but their position is interim. It's...
But what's the difference?
The difference is that they have not been officially named, arts director or news person, an assistant in the news department, or the other position is a receptionist.
Normally what a hiring freeze means is that no new positions are created.
No, these are not new positions.
Right, so why wouldn't those interim positions be filled?
Because we still have to wait. No, the positions are filled, but the person may not be the person who will get hired initially because
they
are
persons. You will choose a permanent person for the interim positions.
Yes.
But there's a hiring freeze on new positions.
Yes,
okay.
That's correct.
Don and then Sandy.
Well, first of all, thank you for the hospitality here in New York. The reception last night at WBAI was delightful. On the way, I wore a medium T-shirt, and when I got there, after eating the buffet, they gave me a large. So,
barely fitting.
In Los Angeles, during public session, we had the pleasure of having both the general manager and the program director there, and it was great to have you both in Los Angeles, and you made a joint report. And there was some indication that there was a need for kind of a refining of the relationship between general manager and public and program director. And so I think both of you said you thought you could benefit from maybe some kind of mediation or something. I'm just wondering if any of that took place, if that... situation
yes.
occurred.
Yes, we're still, it's still work in progress.
Good. Okay, thank you.
Sandy, and then I saw Teresa and then Lisa.
First, congratulations. First, thanks for the hospitality. Let me echo Don's remarks. It was very nice last night, and it's quite a facility that Pacifica has here in New York. We should all be very proud of that. And congratulations on raising $775,000. If we could do that in Houston, we would need about 1.5 fund drives a year. So that's a lot of money. Nonetheless, it did leave us a tad bit short of our goal on this drive, and I believe there was another drive that might have fallen short, and so we sum everything up, and we're a little bit short of where we need to be revenue-wise. Two questions. Number one, how many FTEs do we have at this point, and are there any plans to reduce expenses along the line of staffing? Thank you.
I think we are already operating with bare-bones staff because I don't see us making any more cuts unless we do it across the board. Maybe keep all the staff, and I don't know what we'll do at this point. We have to first see if we can solve the problem of filling the gap by doing additional fundraisers off air. We'll try to make it work with what we have rather than lay off more folks.
And his question was how many full-time equivalents?
Oh, full-time positions offhand, I think we have like 18 full-time and 18 full-time. And I suspect it's about 18 part-time. I'm not 100% sure. I don't do payroll anymore. I forgot how many.
I have three quick questions.
Sure.
Number one, I do not believe that you have a music library, and to me that's personally very disappointing because I think the whole possibility of people donating music is wonderful. So what do your people do when they want to play music to accompany?
I think most of the producers have their own stash, and that's how they work. They bring their own music. Maybe they have donated music, I'm not sure. But they walk with their own music. They have lockers, and they store it on the premises, and they use that as they have the need.
Well, you may want to think of some sort of plan to get people into the mode of contributing music to your library. So my second question is, can you think of some examples of just sheer generosity that people that you have experienced, that spirit of volunteerism or giving that we depend upon in this organization? Has anything occurred to you lately that just maybe strikes you as something that like made your day?
Yes, I think people really have been giving money to the station. I think if weren't for the additional money from the major donors, we would not have been able to continue without borrowing from National, of course, because when we do not do well, National also suffers because they do not get their 20% of what we supposed to give them, so they have to readjust their budget as well. And so far we did not go to National for anything. We have formed a lot of collaborative efforts with other communities, and it's working to our benefit. We've been going to different communities trying to network with other groups and see how we can have a two-way street, and they benefit from us and we benefit from them, and it's been working. It has been working.
My third question is, who initiates those collaborations? Is it your development committee, your development director, your program director? Who have been, when you say we and they've been working with us, who are those?
Well, truthfully, I've been doing a lot of it because coming from a business manager, I do not know a lot of the communities. So I've made that initiative to go out and network myself because we do not have a development director. As I said, we only have 10 hours a week development director, and she has been doing a lot of work as well to help me. And we got a grant for her REIN, which is a year.
Good, thank you.
Lisa.
Hi, Indra. and I know people have been doing a lot of hard work. I enjoyed myself and ate quite a bit last night at WBAI. The food was good, so I thank you for that. I just wanted, you had mentioned something about doing outreach and doing outreach with the grassroots communities. And we have been hearing, as you know, we all know, one of the big underlying themes of this whole weekend so far, in a one way, has been about the relationships that we build with each other, with the communities, or that we destroy. And this is why I feel that things have got to be worked out instead of being ignored. And a lot of times the reason I will make a point about certain things is with also the hope of helping to raise people's level of awareness so that we don't continue to polarize people and the communities in the way that we have been. And I remembered at one LSB meeting, and I had been wanting to just ask you something about this, and you said, and I might be paraphrasing you terribly, so if I am, I apologize for that, but something about the issue of being, of not being that political. And this, I mean, WBAI and Pacifica, it is political, and the issues that we deal with are very, very political. And one of the ways that you get to the community, especially to grassroots people, is by going out to knowing their issues, becoming very involved with them, even if you don't necessarily see the see eye to eye or even necessarily agree, but understanding and going out there and becoming more political, in other words. So I wanted to just ask you about, you know, that aspect in terms of outreach to these grassroots communities, and I guess raising the political awareness or how you're doing with that. And then just another thing which also is in relationship to that somewhat, because, you know, people have done things, we all know everything about the emails and things that have been going around, and some of them have been very offensive and alienating to certain communities, and unfortunately your name has been used in those emails. And one would think, I've talked with you about it, and I believe you when you say that no, you didn't have anything to do with that, but some people have been reckless and have put your face on these emails by using your name, and they have been, like I said, offensive to people, to certain communities. And I've even said, Indra, I think you should do something about that. What are you going to do? And I'm not aware of any kind of public response, or I'm not aware, let me put it to you like that, of any kind of response. So I would like you, if you could, you know, address those issues. How do you plan to respond should something like that happen again? And how do you plan to, are you doing anything to try to prevent those things from happening? So if you could just talk about the outreach into different communities and on that. Thank you.
I'm not quite sure I understand all of your questions, I remember saying that I may not be as politically astute as you guys, but I am from a progressive background. Mm-hmm. That's what I said. Being politically astute does not prevent one to invite people to see what BAI is and what the radio station promotes, connecting with youths from city colleges, like your college, which is a grassroots organization, which is close to my home, and I am alma mater from there to your college. And people do not know about us. You don't have to go to political organization to let people know about the station. If people start listening and they like what they hear, they may start contributing. It is important to go to political organizations, but I think we have so many people on the board. We have a lot of people can do that kind of a networking. I can do other kind of networking, and that's what I've been doing. Networking that can generate income, because my position, I have to make sure that all the bills are paid and the station can stay on air. As far as making statements, I am not responsible for what people say. And while something can be very ugly, and I'm not responsible for that, I think that what people say, they should be responsible for their own email. I don't go to these sites. I don't have time to go to these sites where people are writing up. People made it their business to put ugly email under my door every day I come in. Not every day I come in, but a few times I come into the station, they put the email under my door because they probably knew that I didn't read about it, so they put it under my door. So I'm not part of it. I just disassociate myself from it, but I am not going to dwell on it and make people become hero.
I just wanted to clarify myself a little bit more, because I certainly did not, wasn't implying that you were responsible in any way for that. And in terms of the political, I guess what I'm talking about more is like, you know, outreach, getting more, attracting more listeners, and not just you specifically, but in terms of as a station, you know, are there any kind of plans, and I just would like to know more about, because you mentioned in terms of reaching out to grassroots, some more in terms of, you know, the outreach. I know that you can advertise something, and I even was saying earlier myself that I think we all, you know, people on the board, the LSB, definitely need to make this a very much a central part of what we do in terms of outreach and trying to increase listenership. So I meant, you know, from that perspective. So, you know, I know you don't necessarily have to be political, but in terms of outreach, so because there are those who listen to the station, but we also want to get those who might not listen to the station so much, you know, to.
Well, outreach to me, I understand what you're saying, but outreach is everyone's job at the station. People, staff members, we have our biggest outreach tool is our airwaves and the website, and we have a lot of tools, but we are ambassadors for the station, and we are the ones who have to go out there ourselves, each and every one of us, the 200 odd producers, our paid staff, or, you know, we are the ambassadors. We are the one who have to do the outreach, because we do not have the funding to hire a person to do outreach specifically. So we have to take it upon ourselves.
Alan? Actually, I have Alan and Sar first. Will you want to tell us to speak?
I didn't have you down yet. I suppose I have a first very simple question and then a follow-up. Tomorrow during our working lunch, there's a WBAI presentation. Is there a question and answer part of that? What is that? And I have a follow-up to that question, but what is that presentation tomorrow from 12:30 to 1:30?
Tomorrow 12:30, I think I didn't get word from all the staff, but I think Bernard, Kathy, and Janet so far will make presentation.
Okay, follow-up.
And with question and answer.
So that's the program director, the public affairs director, and the arts director,
yes,
correct?
So
okay, because I suppose I want
to. I'm the development director, sorry.
And will you be also there to?
Yes, I will be there.
Okay, and so maybe tomorrow might be a better time to ask a programming question.
Okay.
Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Okay, then I'll. That's it.
Sure.
Sarv. Indra, thank you very much for your hospitality. Last night I was there at the station. It was my first time that I went to see the station. It's a magnificent facility, and the food was excellent, and the people were just absolutely very kind.
Thank you.
And one thing I noticed here that I don't have a whole lot of experience with New Yorkers, but they seem like very expressive people. And and especially the Pacifica listeners of New York. And I just wanted to know if the same spirit carries through the WBI station as well.
Sorry?
The same spirit carries through WBI, I assume, that expressiveness of personalities. And so if I were to ask you a question, every time I hear these horror stories by WBI New York, they say, oh, the station is going down the tubes, it's going like this. And I've always had faith that I don't think the station will ever go down, because I have faith in people. So if I were to ask you, compared to a year ago, Is it the whole ambiance and people's working relationships and goodness, going up or staying steady or going down? What would be your answer?
I think WBI has always been a rocky road, and I don't mean ice cream. Some people may feel that morale is down, and some may, depending who you ask, and some may feel that morale is up.
I mean yourself.
Myself, it's a battle every day, and it's a lot of hard work. A lot of work. You have to be a shrink, a politician, a mother, all roll into one, and it's not enough.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you.
What about Gary Noel? My next?
You're lost between Ellis, Oakland, Berkeley, New York.
My next? Yeah. Actually, I have two questions. One of them is, what is your role in terms of programming at the station? What role do you have vis-à-vis what we actually hear on the air? And the other question is, I didn't hear an answer to what Lisa asked, and I'll ask a little bit more focus with me. This is a communication from a local board member stating that, describing an incident supposedly that you... to which you were a witness, and once you were informed of it, and so I guess the question was, what is your responsibility once you know that your name is being used officially as a witness to an event? Do you feel that your responsibility, particularly in the context that we are in at WBI, to say this did not happen, not, at least not while I was there? And that was the question, and I didn't hear the answer to that.
I circled it on that piece of paper right there.
Grow up, David. Oh, he carries along with him. So anyway, so my first question was about programming. What role do you play in programming at the station?
What role I play in programming?
What role do you play?
What
is your role vis-à-vis what we actually hear at the station on the air?
My vision would be that we have something that's comparable to Democracy Now, that's national. I mean, 3 years... Amy has, you know, moved into her own home, and we haven't stepped up to have something similar. And we do have a lot of talents.
I was asking, what is your actual role in what influence do you have on programming at the station?
What influence? Right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, present. I thought you meant what would I like to see happen in programming. Right now, I oversee programming department. I oversee the whole staffing. Mm-hmm. I don't have any direct role per se, but I oversee whatever happens at the station. I do not have any direct input as far as programming changes or anything like that, but I should really play a more active role in programming.
Did you say you should play a role?
Yes.
Yes. And the other question, I'm sorry to raise it, but I thought it was an important question.
About the emails?
Yeah, and about you, about your name being used specifically by an official, by a board member of WBAI, connecting you, alleging you knowledge of that incident, and when you said yourself that you saw it differently.
I think that was already addressed at the last meeting, the board, the meeting. Yeah.
I was unaware of that. I'm not sure what that means.
I think we've spent a lot of time and energy on addressing that letter and bringing it up back into light when it should be really forgotten.
So, to summarize, you're saying that people who have heard that explanation at this point know that you have taken the position that you were not witness to the incident. That's what you're saying.
Ray, I think Indra's been clear that she doesn't want to carry forward the issue you're raising any further. I think she was fairly clear that she didn't want to pursue that issue any further.
Oh, I didn't understand it that way. Okay. If it's what it is, that's what it is.
We're at time, and Brian has been waiting all day.
Just 13th hour.
We also have a WBI presentation tomorrow, and we'll be able to discuss other issues associated with WBI then. Thank you very much, Indra.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thanks.